guided by a master plan for complete domination of the Earth.
I hope you will like
it. Hello and welcome to Paranormal Hotline. Paranormal Hotline is a weekly podcast where we discuss things that are paranormal, cred A, non awkward. UFOs? We got them sometimes. Ghosts? We got them sometimes. A mongoose named Jeff? Yeah, we know the eighth wonder. Big feet? Occasionally. A sense of dread, unable to decide which is scarier, life out there and eventually meeting it, or the prospect that we, on Earth, are completely alone in the cold and otherwise uncaring void of space, spinning towards nothing. It's rare, but it comes around sometimes. My name is Oisin, and I am joined by my co-ghost, Kaylee.
Hello, I'm good. I am jet-lagged as hell, but I'm good. I'm alive.
Good. You got back in one piece. You were away in America for like
a week. I was in New York State in a place called Syracuse. I was there for work, and yeah, it was great. It was my first time ever in America, and it was interesting. I didn't get to see much of the area because I was working, obviously, but yeah.
It's the closest we've been to West Virginia.
It is. And, you know, I was talking to people who had, like, been to the Mothman Festival and stuff, and I was like, this is insane. This is so cool. Yeah, and it was great. Apparently, everywhere in the town is haunted. I kept hearing stories about haunted. Like, the minute anybody found out I was into paranormal stuff, they're like, this place is haunted. This place is haunted. My grandmother saw a ghost. And, like, I heard so many stories. People were so open to telling me their paranormal experiences.
Do you think that's, like, a part of why there's so many reports and accounts of paranormal activity from America? Because, like,
what, because people are, like, more open to talking about it? Maybe. Yeah, it could be something like that. Well, you think, like, Ireland has just as many cryptids, but we just, like, don't talk about them?
We're really good at keeping things, like, skeletons.
Yeah, that's true, actually, because you said, was there not somebody we knew who saw, like, some sort of terrifying creature thing and just told nobody?
Yeah, it was under wraps.
So maybe that's why people were like, yeah, that I saw the Mothman. No problem telling anybody. Because, like, a policeman saw the frogmen in Loveland and told everybody. Like, there's no way that would happen here.
No. You'd be thrown out of the guard force.
You'd be thrown out of the guards, kicked out of church, no friends. And that's how you become a cryptid yourself.
Yeah, condemned from the pulpit.
Exactly. But it was great. I really liked it. Everyone was super friendly that I met anyway. I went to this Irish pub because there was one in the hotel that we were staying at. Mm-hmm. And the woman behind the bar kept laughing at, like, everything I was saying. And I think she thought I was, like, putting the accent on because I was in an Irish pub. Like, she'd be like, oh, can I get you anything else? And I'd be like, yeah, can I get, like, a glass of water? And she'd be like, ha ha ha. Did I say something funny? Or it was very strange.
Oh, yeah, so I was going to ask, like, did you have any spooky encounters yourself?
I didn't, but the hotel we stayed in had, like, a this really creepy ballroom upstairs. Like, I'm talking, like, The Shining-esque ballroom.
Yeah.
It was so creepy. It was, like, this kind of, like, noir-looking... not noir, but Art Deco... creepy ballroom, and it was really, really spooky, and it was up so high as well. I don't know, the whole thing gave me creepy vibes.
Was it, like, empty, or was there people there?
Oh, it was empty. Like, it was nighttime.
Yeah, that makes it so much worse.
And it, like, the lights were off, like, the doors were open, but the lights were off, but there was still music playing through the speakers.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So
no,
it sounded
no.
like a band was playing or something, but it was weird, it was creepy. Didn't see any ghosts,
really don't like that.
Chilling.
Really don't like that.
There was a few people who, because it was a really old hotel we stayed in, there was a few people who said that they heard things in their rooms and that their stuff kept moving, like one guy lost his keys or he'd put things down a specific way and then come back, like... And, like, he didn't have housekeeping in, but everything would be moved around. So, I don't know. Spooky place.
Spooky place. That sounds definitely spooky.
Yeah. I mean, you get old hotels in Ireland, but they're normally just, like, damp and gross. This was, like, a nice old hotel.
I'm definitely not as tired as you, but I am still tired. I was at, like, a Viking thing.
Oh, yeah.
At Sling Castle.
Oh, nice. How was that? Did you see any spooky ghosts?
Well,
that's interesting.
No, I looked it up after the point when I was coming doing my research. I was like, hang on, maybe something's in Slane. So had a quick dive in, and supposedly There's an ancient well in the grounds of the castle.
Ooh.
And it's near the river. And in Irish mythology, in like the Tuatha Dé Danann stories,
yeah,
the well was blessed by Dian Kecht, who was like their healer of the Tuatha Dé Danann.
Ooh.
And so like they could bathe in it and be healed, provided like they weren't like beheaded.
So like, did you go down to the well after like the morning, you know, cure your hangover with some holy well water?
Yeah, so you know, like all good wells in Ireland, it's now a holy well.
Yep.
It's Our Lady's well. But I presume it's the same one, or like, you know, it was filled in and then this one has become like essentially the spiritual successor, because like it's right beside the river.
No, most of the holy wells like come from the Celtic mythology. They were kind of like,
yeah,
what's the word, commandeered by Catholicism, yeah, to represent like different saints and stuff. But it was just a way to convert people, like the pagans, yeah, to Catholicism.
It's next to the river, but where like the river, like it moves slow, and then there's like a weir, so it like kind of like a long waterfall.
Oh,
so,
cool.
Like, there's this wonderful noise. I saw this huge swan come in for a landing. Oh my goodness. But anyway. pretty much. I also read in one place that Slane Castle supposedly is haunted by the Pooka, or a Pooka.
Ooh.
And the one in Slane Castle, by this account, takes the form of a large hound or small horse.
Oh, cool.
And this one is kind of considered a protector.
Oh man, if we had known ahead of time, you could have gone in with the handheld mic.
Yeah, that would have been good. But this one, they said, oh, you can recognize it because it wears a chain around its neck.
Oh.
I didn't know about this at the time. Look who I met on camp.
Oh.
It's a large hound with a chain around its neck.
Yeah, it's not really black though. Although, that's really cute. Oh my god, he's so cute. I would have taken him home.
Yeah, well, actually, it turns out these ones, provided they're not the Pooka, they're actually from Waterford, so there's a good chance I'm going to bump into them again. For the record, you guys, it's a picture of me with an Irish wolfhound.
Massive. The dog is bigger than Oisín.
Yeah. It was, you know, we got on well. It was very friendly to me.
I mean,
like, the dog's head, you could put my head in its jaws.
Yeah, it's huge. They're very, very friendly, though. Like, I don't think I've ever been intimidated by an Irish wolfhound.
No, we just got on.
It is kind of like a horse dog, though. Fits both descriptions.
That's what I meant. You know, I just thought, I was like, oh, that's weird. That's weird. I don't think it was actually the Pooka. I think, you know, that could have probably been.
I mean, if you had a few drinks and then that thing came out of the woods at you.
I would let it lead me anywhere.
That would be, you know, you're so easy to kill.
Well, those things mightn't have had to do with this week's episode. And hopefully this will not be my last episode.
Oh, God.
Why do I put it like that, Kaylee? Because I'm going to tempt death itself for your listening delights.
Jesus Christ. Okay. I was not prepared for this.
Oh, what a turn. Oh, you thought, oh, Oisín, you'd be easy to kill, but...
If the call disconnects, I'm not going to bother calling you back. I'm just going to assume you've died.
Yeah. Hopefully not. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
Ages ago, I did an episode about Japanese urban legends. This is kind of one of them. I read about it when I was doing it, and I've come back to this one. It wasn't featured in that episode. And the reason for that was because it kind of felt a little bit more creepypasta-y. But I'm still kind of interested because I found out that the subject of the legend wasn't made up to go along with it. So it's like a cursed poem. The legend of it seems to have been applied to the poem years later. One take on the legend goes, in the early 1900s, there lived a young boy named Tomino in Japan. Tomino had a severe physical disability, left him in a wheelchair. To find solace amidst the overwhelming emotions tied to his condition, Tomino turned to poetry. However, when he composed a rather unsettling poem, his parents reacted with disapproval. This response was not surprising given the strict cultural norms of Japan at the time, and the poem's exploration of dark and intense themes. In an attempt to discipline Tomino for his chilling verse, his parents decided to confine him to the basement, depriving him of food. Unfortunately, the damp and cold conditions of the cellar took the toll on Tomino's life, leading to his untimely demise due to bronchitis. Legend has it that Tomino's spirit became intertwined with his disturbing poetry. It is said that anyone brave enough to recite his poem aloud risks invoking a curse upon themselves, resulting in misfortune and despair.
Great. So you're gonna try to summon this Tomino.
We're going there.
Yeah, you're breaking up there. Sorry, actually, you just broke off.
No. I have more history.
Okay,
more history
okay,
first.
Okay, cool.
I was going to go to an ad read first. We better pay the bills before I'm dead.
Oh my God.
If you're enjoying the podcast, you can help it out. We have a Patreon, and that's a way to directly support the podcast. A little money will go a long way to help us put out an episode every week. And you get access to our Discord, where we're always chatting and posting stuff about and in between episodes. That's over at www.patreon.com/paranormalhotline. Anyway, legend-wise, I'm going to put my debunky hat on. This origin story is bullshit.
Right. Why is it bullshit?
Because the poem was actually written by a fellow named Seijo Yasuo.
What if he just found the poem and pretended he wrote it?
I don't think he did.
You don't think he did? Oh, okay.
Well, anyway, it was published in 1919, and he wrote the poem after his father passed away. And, like, you know, he was in a university, and he wrote poems for children and words for popular songs, and edited and contributed to poetry magazines.
Oh, right. Wait, is this a kid's poem then?
I wouldn't think so, no.
Okay. Are you going to read it in Japanese, or are you going to read it translation?
No. It's going to be in English. I'm not going to murder a language for, like, the third time.
Murder a language just to murder yourself.
Yeah.
Does it count if it's in English? I feel like you got to read it.
See, I don't know. As skeptical as I am, that's, like, my last failsafe.
Right.
Okay. We'll get to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
So the legend, like, so, okay, so that's, like, the legend of where did it come from, but the urban legend around, sort of like, if you read it aloud, you'll die. There's a lot of conflicting accounts online and kind of like around the time of when that started to be more and more believed or, you know, spoke about. In 1974, Terayama Shuji, he was a poet and a director. He directed a film called To Die in the Countryside. He based a lot of it on the poem, or took inspiration from the poem. And then he died sometime later. And then people claimed because he was obsessed with the poem.
Oh, okay.
There's also rumors of a university student who died after she read it. This is kind of, from what I've read, somewhere in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
Or after the film, anyway. They kind of all go, so it's around the 70s onwards. That's just the release date of the film. Other sources say that it was multiple college kids, but like all urban legends, we're not really sure. Basically, how it was going, if you read it aloud, bad news. You could have a bad fall. You could lose your voice. Sickness, car crash, whatever.
If we're going to have to, like, report next week if anything bad happens to you this week.
Yes. Yeah, so, or not report at all.
Ooh. Ooh. This is the last episode and we just never tell anyone.
For the record, Terayama, he died, like, 9 years after the film was made. Still young, he was, like, 47, but he died of liver disease.
It's kind
of
like, what's the time limit for it to be blamed on the...
I don't know.
On the movie, you know?
I feel that's kind of part of it. You know, like, oh, like, you know, the way one take on the whole law of attraction thing is like, well, actually, it's just because your head is in that place and you're noticing things.
Yeah.
Or like the kind of that whole take on Randonautica as well.
Yeah, yeah. Just luck in general as well.
Or kind of like, you know, I wonder if it's coincidence and people are just applying it to the coincidence. From what I can tell, it kind of kicked off or had a resurgence anyway, or it could have kind of. The real sort of, say, creepy, I really don't like using the term creepypasta, but kind of like, you know, onlineness of it all.
Yeah.
Came in like 2004.
Those were very popular in like Japan as well. Like any
yeah.
of those.
Yeah.
I feel like it probably started in Japan, to be honest. And
oh, yeah.
spread to
yeah.
Western cultures.
It did. And that's kind of part of how kind of spotty all the information is, because I don't speak Japanese. I can't read Japanese.
Yeah.
It was all a bit underground until that point, I think, or kind of a less passed around urban legend. But then I read that an author, Yomata Inuhiku, wrote, "If you by chance happen to read this poem out loud after, you will suffer a terrible fate which cannot be escaped." And in the book Kuroko wa Kogaru, Ishi no Yuni. Then it seems that those old rumors about the director and the college kid, they got rekindled, and it evolves online, going from him saying, oh, it'll terrible fate, kind of like, oh, if you read this out loud, you're going to die. That sort of thing. It
right.
seemed to evolve online. And then also on the message boards, people were going like, oh, here's proof. I've read it. Oh, and like people recording, reading it and stuff.
Right. And is there like horrible things happening to them? Or they're just reading it out loud?
I think there's a degree of like, you don't see horrible things happen to them, but then people speculate, oh, this was the last time they posted. Or stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I think a lot of that, they also could have been playing into the legend of it as well, like coming up with something and then specifically not
posting online for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you can't tell, Kaylee, despite loving urban legends, I'm most skeptical about this one. You know?
Are you not like a little bit scared something might happen to you?
Well, I was looking for my black tourmaline.
You should explain the black tourmaline to everyone.
Okay, so we were going on an investigation, and everyone got a black tourmaline except for me.
Like a stone in a necklace form. And I first picked one up because I read somewhere online that it's supposed to help any, like, stop anything from getting attached to you, which is what I was, like, worried about. Like, just in the off chance that it did work, I was like, you know, better safe than sorry. And then everyone started wearing them, and everyone had one except for Oisin.
I complained and someone got me one.
It was me. I had to run down the morning before we left to grab you one because I felt bad. I was like, if Oisin gets possessed, it's my fault.
Well, it's actually, it wasn't in my coat where I last left it, so.
If it's in your house, I'm sure it still works, right?
Okay. Sure.
Somebody else can confirm that.
I'll read the poem. No, Oisin, don't do it. It's too dangerous.
Do it, you pussy.
Don't worry, dear listeners. I'm not giving it any of my power.
I think it's going to work, personally. I think you're doomed.
Okay. Yep. Light a candle for me.
No.
This is the English translation by David Bowles.
David Bowie.
David Bowles. So here we go. Cursed poem. Tomino's Hell by Saijo Yasuo.
Dun dun dun.
Elder sister vomits blood. Younger sister is breathing fire. While sweet little Tomino just spits up the jewels. All alone does Tomino go falling into that hell. A hell of utter darkness without even flowers. Is Tomino's big sister the one who whips him? The purpose of the scourging hangs in his mind. Lashing and thrashing him, but never quite shattering. One sure path to Avicii. The eternal hell. Into that blackest of hells guide him now. I pray to the golden sheep, to the nightingale. How much did he put in that leather pouch to prepare for his trek to the eternal hell? Spring is coming to the valley, to the wood, to the spiraling chasms of the blackest hell. The nightingale in her cage, the sheep aboard the wagon, the tears well up in the eyes of sweet little Tomino. Sing, O nightingale, in the vast misty forest. He screams, he only misses his little sister. His wailing desperation echoes throughout hell. A fox peony opens its golden petals. Down past the seven mountains and seven rivers of hell, the solitary journey of sweet little Tomino. If in this hell they be found, may they then come to me, please, those sharp spikes of punishment from Needle Mountain. Not just on some empty whim is flesh pierced with blood-red pins. They serve as hellish signposts for sweet little Tomino. What do you think, Ellie?
It's pretty spooky, not gonna lie.
It is.
As far as poems go.
It has some really dark and scary imagery going on there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm used to listening to poems about, like, daffodils and shit. Yeah. It's like Needle Mountain.
Where was that? Where was this in The Leaving Cert?
Yeah.
So I won't turn the episode into Poetry Corner. We won't get into it too much. We won't get into the imagery or anything.
You see, he said,
like,
red, but what he meant was.
Yeah, what he really meant. The curtains. No. He is paying for something, or like he has done something that is not mentioned directly in the poem, and he's either, like, you know, spiritually or actually going through hell for it.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, poetry was never my strong point.
I saw one person kind of doing an analysis, and I'm not going to get into the analysis of it, but kind of like they say that he's going to Avicii, and it's like, or Avicii, and it's like
the music
in
person?
Buddhist hell. Well, it could be a shared name.
Avicii.
Avicii, yeah. Avicii levels. No.
It's Buddhist. The lowest level of Naraka. Okay, so Avicii actually means hell. I did not know that.
Yeah.
I didn't even know Buddhism had a hell, to be honest.
Yeah, well, it does, and that this is it. But it's like very limited, awful things that you can do to go there. But one of them is like killing your father.
Oh.
And he wrote this poem after the death of his father. Now, he didn't kill him.
Okay.
I think.
That's pretty chilling still, all the same.
One sort of interpretation of it is like, is it the loss of his father?
Yeah, it could be taken that way, all right. Especially because at the start it mentions his two sisters as well, so I wonder if they're there with him.
Yeah, anyway, Saijo Yasuo, he lived to the ripe old age of 78.
So the curse didn't kill him.
No, and I presume he read it aloud a bunch of times.
You'd think so, right?
Yeah. Anyway, I obviously don't believe in the curse.
I do.
Okay. I look forward to proving you wrong next week.
I hope you do. Because if something bad happens to you this week, I'll feel really guilty. And then I'll have to write a poem about it. Curse more people.
And so it perpetuates itself. This is how poems reproduce naturally in the wild.
Exactly. Is this therapy? I really hope nothing happens to you. But it would be super interesting if something did. Obviously nothing horrible, but like...
A low-level misfortune.
I mean, if you at least like lost a finger or something, that would be pretty funny.
Hang on, what? I need those.
You've got 10 of them. You'll have 9 spare ones. You can lose one of them.
I would get very upset.
Really?
If I lost a finger, absolutely.
How upset would you get?
I'd get pretty upset.
Nah, you'd be fine. It's just a finger.
But I need them.
You literally don't.
I use all 10 of them when I'm typing.
Yeah, well, you just learn to use 9 in future.
As long as it's not, like, my sword hand.
Oh, yeah, okay, fair.
You know? my career as a sword fighter.
A toe, then, or something. I'm just saying, it would be interesting, all right? Not my fault, the poem's fault. You're the one who wanted to read it. God, I'm blaming me for this. Nothing's even happened.
I'm not blaming you for this.
Sorry.
Tune in next week where we have another argument on air.
Tune in next week where Oisin attempts to give Kaylee the middle finger but fucking can't. Oh, that would be sad.
That would be sad.
That is like 2 of the fingers that I'd be the most upset about losing. My grandfather was missing a bit of his middle finger, and his way of showing everybody was by, you know, giving them the finger. So
I was looking up articles to do with this, and one of them has, like, you know, books that will kill you. This is besides the point.
Just ones that are heavy enough to drop on your head and kill you.
Kind of like that. So, like, have you ever heard of the book Fahrenheit 451?
No.
By Ray Bradbury. Okay, so in the book, it's like a dystopia where all books have been banned.
Okay.
And the character is, he's called a fireman, but it's like if you've been caught reading a book, they just burn all your belongings in your house.
Right.
But the 1953 limited edition was bound in asbestos because it's fireproof.
Yeah.
So it's like, that book will kill you.
Okay.
You'll die of asbestos, boys.
That's so dumb.
It was the 50s. It'll be stocked in my haunted bookshop.
Ooh, nice.
Haunted bookshop lore is going to continue. I'm going to flesh that one out.
You should at least start a haunted book stall.
That would be good.
Yeah,
that would be
a good start, you know. Bookshops are a good business to get into right now, right? They're on the up, right?
Yeah. They're on the up and up.
Everybody loves
to read on paper. If you like the podcast, suggest us to your friends and family. We'd appreciate that. If you have any personal ghost stories that you'd like us to read on the podcast, send them in to us at paranormalhotlinepodcast@gmail.com. Or if you have any stories that you'd like us to cover, send us an email and we'll get back to you on them. That's all for this week. I'll see you next week, for sure.
Maybe.
No, for sure. Anyway, bye-bye.
Bye. You'll see me next week, probably.